Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, starting with verse 16. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen."
Good morning, Stonebridge. Good morning. Good to see you all here. I hear this is a pretty good crowd for July. Please come back. Don't make this the only one. We're here to see the new guy. It's good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Thank you all for being here. It's been an exciting week. I want to thank you all very much for allowing us to start our Sunday this Sunday so that we could be with our children in Colorado for the birth of our granddaughter. It was a good time. We were a little anxious there latter part of the week. She was due last Saturday and didn't get here till Thursday, but all is well. She's beautiful and it's great. It's been a very full morning already, as you can imagine. I want to thank Dina very much for her getting all this arranged for the day and for being our worship leader and guiding us through these services and for letting me do a little, Mayor Brooke and I do a little fling over to the bridge and back. So lots going on in this place, and it's very exciting. Thank many of you for your wonderful thoughts and prayers and the connections we've been making for the last, it's almost 3 weeks since it was announced that Mayor Brooke and I were coming here. So it's just really good to be here and to be here with you today. Will you pray with me? Eternal and gracious God, may the words in my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yes, it's been, 3-4 months since it was announced that we were going to have this appointment change. You do a lot of thinking in interim times. I don't know if this is familiar with you, but when you're in transitions, when you're in between, you have lots of time for reflection and thinking through things. Both of your former pastors have been very, very influential in my life. I appreciate Don Smith very, very much. We kind of grew up in the ministry together. We were both serving churches in the old Sherman McKinney district together. He was in Princeton and I was in Farmersville. We've known Don and Amy for a very long time, and they're very near and dear friends. He's actually going to be coming in next Friday. We're all going to go together to the Hello Dolly show, so look forward to being with him. John Mullen and I have been very close and together for the past several years because we've been in a covenant group together. We've been sharing life experiences and the ups and downs of ministry and life. So I know quite a bit about you already. And if you know John, you could just say if it's true or not. I don't. Very good, very close friends. In this in-between time, in this interim time, I've been thinking about, well, what should I say on this very first Sunday? What should be the message of the day? And you think about where God has been in your life, in ministry for the past 28 years or so, and you remember all the incredible experiences and the wonderful friends and the great celebrations of life and the struggles and the difficulties and realizing how God has been with you in wonderful ways and how the grace of God has been a part of this all along, and then the anticipation of what lies ahead and its unfoldment into the future and knowing that God's going to be with you in that too. So in this time of transition and thinking, I go all the way back to March the 13th, 1983. It was a Sunday. It was the day I preached my very first sermon. It was in First United Methodist Church in Grand Prairie. I had been spending several years as an executive with the Boy Scouts of America, and for that past 2 or 3 years, I've been intensely kind of, something been going on in my life, and it was just kind of this churn of what's going on, and I spent a lot of time journaling, praying, thinking about what's going on, and out of this process and thought, the conviction came to me that I'm being called of God to go into full-time ordained ministry. And so processing that came to the point of declaring my candidacy for ordination. And this was a Sunday that was to be done. And the Reverend Bob Young, who was the pastor at the church at the time, said, "Oh, I've got a great idea. We'll have Sunday morning worship. We'll have everybody here. We'll have Vic preach. Then we'll call a charge conference, and then we'll vote to see if he can continue or not." So the pressure was kind of on for the day. We'll even invite his dad and mom to be there. And thank you. There's more pressure. So the day came, and I preached my very first sermon. And the title of that sermon was Our Divine Vocation. Now, somehow or another, this particular title has been a theme for my ministry all these years. On that particular Sunday, the scripture for the day was the scripture for this day. It was Jesus' hometown in Nazareth. Now, to set it up, the Gospel of Luke's testimony to the new early church, it's chapter 4. Jesus has just been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. You remember this story where the heavens open and the Spirit appears as a dove and descends upon Jesus. And there's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And then after that, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. After the temptations, Jesus is still filled with the Spirit, and he goes on to Galilee to begin his ministry and his teaching. And crowds start to form. They start to come and hear what he has to say. They become mesmerized. They're engaged. He has an incredible following, and his name becomes known throughout the region. So then he decides to go home. Hometown Nazareth. And there he arrives. It's a Sabbath day, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue. Now, on this particular day, he was the guest of honor, and so he was asked to bring the message. So he gets up, The attendant the day hands him a scroll. It's the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus unrolls the scroll. He founds the place where he wants to read. It's from Isaiah 61. And then he begins to read, and he reads this. Let's all read this together, shall we? Will you join me? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When he finished, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. In those days in the synagogue, you stood up to read the scriptures, you sat down to teach. And as he sat down, every eye in the place was fixed upon him. And then he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And then there was a ooh. They were impressed for the moment, but he wasn't done. If you keep reading, then you'll discover that he says some things that they did not appreciate, and so it ended badly that day. But the point of the moment is what Jesus was doing in reading that scripture and declaring, "Today this reading is fulfilled in your hearing," is his declaration of identity. This is who I am. This is who I am called to be. This is my vocation. So I want to talk about our vocation. I want to talk about your vocation, my vocation, our divine vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin de vocare. It means to call or to summon. Each and every one of us through our baptism have been called, called of God by God's grace into this place, into the ministry of Stonebridge United Methodist Church. One of the influences in my life was Professor James Fowler, who was a Harvard psychologist, United Methodist pastor, and the director of the Center for Faith Development at Emory University Candler School of Theology. His lifelong desire, ambition, his lifelong interest was faith development, how you and I grow in our faith. How, as we grow older, how life experiences come upon us and affect us and work and integrate into our lives, our faith transforms. It grows. It expands. It becomes deeper. It becomes more enlightened. And that intrigued me. And his understanding is that our identity is our vocation. A vocation and identity go together. And that once we understand our vocation, what we understand is our response with our total self to the call of God and neighbor. Our total self. The all of who we are. You know, they say that in these days that we are multiple selves. We're a different person with our spouse than we are with our children. We're a different person with our parents. We're a different person with best friends and with acquaintances. We're a different person with strangers. We're a different person with bosses. We're a different person with those who are subordinate under us. We're different persons with the clerk at the grocery store. We're different persons with foreigners than we are with friends. We are a multiple of selves. But vocation is the response that you and I make with our total self to the call of God and neighbor. And one of the great adventures of life is not just the finding, but the claiming and the reclaiming of our purpose in life, that is part of the purpose of God. To claim the purpose of your life that is part of the purpose of God. Now, for the next few Sundays, I'm going to keep working on this theme, our divine vocation, as a way of kind of an introduction, as a way of introducing myself a little more. This is going to be kind of autobiographical. And as we work together to understand more deeply what it means to be in vocation together. Today I want to talk to you about someone who was very influential in my life. I've had a very significant family. My family has been incredibly powerful in my life in many, many ways. My father was incredibly instrumental in who I am and who I have become. My mother is an incredible woman in her own right who is... I look up to every day. She happens to be here this morning. She's the blessing of my life. She's a person of high energy and drive and clear direction. My sister's here. And she got all the traits that my mother does. She is an incredible woman and mom. My in-laws have given me incredible blessings in my life, and my grandparents. But the person I want to talk about today is Grandpa Vic. Grandpa Vic, when he was living, he was Big Vic, and I was Little Vic. And that was okay. I was proud of Big Vic to be Little Vic. Big Vic was named Victor Hugo Cassad. He hated the name Hugo. It took forever for us to figure out what the H meant in his name, Victor H. Cassad. All of the cousins drug it out of him. It's Hugo. His mother loved Victor Hugo, and that's why she named him that name. He hated Hugo. When my grandfather was a young boy, he climbed up into an apple tree, pulled off an apple, picked out of his pocket, he opened up a jackknife and began to peel the apple, and he slipped, and he fell out of the tree, and he lost his eye. So he was blind in one eye all the time I knew him. But that didn't stop him. He was raised in Woodward County, Moreland, Oklahoma, just as you go into the Oklahoma panhandle. He graduated from college in Kansas, came back to Moreland, and became a clerk in the bank. About the same time as the Great Depression hit and the Dust Bowl rolled through northwestern Texas and the panhandle of Oklahoma and devastated the land for 7-8 years. This is the time of grapes of wrath. This is the time when banks were foreclosing all over the country. This was the time when farmers were losing their land. This was the time when the drought for 7 or 8 years, the longest drought in U.S. history in that area. It's the time when mass immigration from Texas and Oklahoma fled to California. And here this little community bank held on and cared for and held together, working with the farmers every day as they'd come in and cry and lament. And my grandpa was there to be with them, to talk them through it, to hold their hand, to be in the struggle with them. He eventually became president of that bank. And still they would come. They would want to talk to Vic. I'm coming. I need to talk to Vic. Something about the bank or something about their insurance or something about... He was there. He was also the lay leader of the Methodist church in the town. And he and my grandmother taught Sunday school forever. Senior high Sunday school. He was instrumental in building the hospital and the community and the retirement center and bringing in the electric co-op that provided electricity for the whole county. He did all those things. But I never really understood the impact of my grandfather until I met Bishop Finus Crutchfield for the first time, the bishop in the Texas Conference. And when I introduced myself, "Hi, my name is Vic Cassad," "I knew your grandfather, Victor. He was a great Methodist, and we were great friends. He was known as Mr. Methodist in northern Oklahoma." Really? And then later on, I met Bishop John Russell, who's also from Oklahoma, at his consecration as bishop. I said, "Bishop Russell, my name is Vic Cassad. I knew your grandfather, Victor. He was a great Methodist. But something I bet you didn't know, what he was really known for." He said, "No, what?" "He was known for being the pastor's friend." Now, my grandfather worked in a bank. But his vocation was the servant of God. And that's our divine vocation. All of us together. Stonebridge United Methodist Church. As we celebrate the love of God, as we study and learn together, as we serve one another in the community and the world, and as we expand the kingdom of God. That is our vocation. And it's a privilege. It's a joy. And yeah, I'm a little proud to be able to do this with you. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.